Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to another podcast episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Neil Harrison and I'm your host for this episode. This week's podcast acknowledges that as we begin to see restrictions easing, how might churches consider using the summer months with better weather and longer evenings to renew church community and refresh church life? Albeit we acknowledge there's still uncertainty around what we can and cannot do, but how can we consider what might be possible and begin to plan whilst recognising that we need to allow room to adapt and be flexible as circumstances change? Whilst we're delighted to be able to gather again for corporate worship in recent weeks, one of the losses that I've heard from many church members time and again is the sense of relational loss from not regularly seeing and speaking with other members of the church family. We've missed sharing our lives together over the last year. To help us think about all of this, I'm delighted to be joined by the Reverend Marty McNeely, Minister of Ballykeel Presbyterian, Sonia Anderson, Deaconess in Shore Street Congregation in Donaghadee, and Rob Bailey, Discipleship Ministry Coordinator in Dundonald Presbyterian. Thanks to you for being willing to be part of this conversation today. So to begin with, I want you each just to tell us a bit about yourself, the congregation that you're part of and how you serve there and what sort of things you're involved with. So let's start with Marty.
Thanks, Neil, and thanks for allowing me to be part of this. It's great to be able to share. I'm Marty McNeely. I'm married to Julie, two kids, Joshua and Martha. Josh is 17, nearly 18, and Martha is 14. And I have been in Ballykeel Presbyterian Church for about 13 and a half years. And it's what we call the church extension charge here in Ballymena. It's about 47 years old, and it's situated right in the heart of what was a brand new housing estate in the early 1970s. It's been kind of added to over the years. We're kind of being gentrified, actually. We've got a brand new housing estate being built behind the church here, about 200 homes. So it's quite exciting. It's a challenging place to be. We've about 160 families on the books, about 120 people came to worship before the pandemic. So relatively small church, but very content, very happy church, very community oriented church. And as you said, I'm the minister, five active elders, and we've just elected another four elders to join them. So pretty active church.
Great. Thanks, Marty. Sonia?
Yeah, I'm Sonia Anderson, married to Andrew. I have two kids, two little girls. Isa is six and Rosie is four. So they keep us well busy. I'm part-time at the moment in Donaghadee, Deaconess there. I probably do a little bit of pastoral work, a little bit of speaking, some alpha groups, work with young families and children, just kind of all over the spectrum, wherever there's a place to be. Our church is probably 500 families or thereabouts, Sunday mornings before the pandemic, maybe 280. In the family service and 80 in the earlier service. We're an active church. We're vacant at the moment, so our minister retired at the end of February, so it's big changes ahead for us. But I love it. Love Donaghadee. Love our church family.
Great. Thanks, Sonia. And Rob?
Yeah, I'm Rob Bailey. Work in Dundonald Presbyterian Church, Discipleship and Ministry Coordinator. I'm married to Lewis, and we have two boys, Theo, who is nine, and Zach, our baby, who is six, which is kind of scary when your baby is now six, but makes me feel old. But hey, that's the way it goes. So we live in Dundonald, as I said. We moved here about 7 years ago. I got the youth worker job here in Dundonald. So we moved not very far from East Belfast up. My role in Dundonald, as I said, is discipleship coordinator. And so that covers really three areas of church life. Discipleship, obviously. How do we equip our members? How do we strategically think about equipping our members to live in the world today as followers of Jesus? And then looking at the prayer life of our church. So that's sort of corporately together, but also how do we encourage prayer on an individual basis at home or with our family or whatever that looks like for us. Then also outreach or mission is part of my job role here. So looking at how do we reach Dundonald with the good news of Jesus. So that's just a brief sort of flavour of my role, yeah.
Thanks very much. And I really appreciate all three of you being with us today for this particular podcast. So As we think about pre-pandemic, can you tell us a little bit about where and how you would have gathered as a church family and how you would have connected relationally? How much of that has been lost in the last 14 months, Rob?
Yeah, we probably, like most Presbyterian churches, enjoyed our Sunday worship services together, so that they would have been a real time of connection for us and fellowship building. Our kids would have been in from the start of the service, and we really enjoyed that. And then they would have gone out to what we call Light Zone, a Sunday school, and had a program just upstairs in our main building. And, you know, our Sunday services were probably the main time of fellowship that we enjoyed together. Before and after our services, we served tea and coffee and some buns and things out in our coffee lounge. It was a real time just for all the different members and families of our church just to chat around tea and coffee and some nice treats. We also had some home groups running on a sort of weekly basis. And then we would have, a couple of times a year, had some social events. So whether it was just a quiz night or just a meal around harvest time or something for people to come to and enjoy. We had numerous sort of things going on in terms of just connecting relationally. But obviously, almost overnight, what was it? 14 or 15 months ago, pretty much all of those things ended quite drastically and quite sort of instantly. The message was to stay at home, to stay away from each other. And so that was difficult. But that's a wee bit of a flavour of the connections that we made, just trying to build community and build fellowship within our church community.
Thanks, Rob. Marty?
Yeah, we're very similar to what Rob has just said. And I guess as I think about it, three things probably stand out for me. One of the things that I hadn't really anticipated was just how much we had missed communion and how central communion is. Secondly, just as Rob said too, that sense of fellowship, the sense of being there on a Sunday morning was gone. And although we've been able to meet again, the big thing that I've really missed, it sounds sort of daft, but the tea and coffee, you know, at the end of the service, we have tea and coffee and the kids run into their Sunday school ministries at that point. And I really, really, really miss just catching up with people, maybe praying with people and greeting new members, you know, over a cup of tea. And another thing, actually, certainly earlier on in the restriction period would have been funerals, where were just really awkward and really difficult. And there's so many questions about that. And there were an awful lot of pastoral concerns about how funerals should be done, and a lot of families really struggled with that. And then obviously weddings as well. Weddings have been completely messed up by the whole thing. But again, as time has gone on, we've got round a lot of those things. So we sort of see a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But definitely just that sense of being together, what was lost. And we noticed it mostly things like tea and coffee and just the general fellowship in the church.
Because it's the same as like both those guys, is the tea and coffee is so central to church life, whether it's like after church on a Sunday morning, a parent and toddlers group. We have a men's group and they have great scones and coffee at theirs, the women's groups. And to lose that sense of community, like there's something when you have a cup of coffee in your hand or a cup of tea for a bit of chat. And I think that's one of the main things that I miss about even Sunday morning church now. Like we're masked. We're told to leave straight after. We don't want to congregate in the car park. So we all leave and you just feel, I just miss standing side by side with somebody with a cup in my hand and having a chat about how their week's been. So for us, like all our groups stopped because they had to. And the youth kind of continued, and when they could meet, they did. A lot of it went online, but most stopped. And you just miss community, miss getting together with folks.
It is funny, isn't it, how there's been big things that we've missed. You know, even Christmas past wasn't what we would class as a proper Christmas, but actually probably the enduring thing that certainly I've missed, and I'm sure it sounds like others have missed, is those small conversations. You know, like most of the conversations we have in the coffee lounge after church are maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes long. They're not particularly, you know, in-depth, but actually over that period of time, over a year or 14 months, they're significant and meaningful. And I suppose, yeah, we've certainly felt the loss of that here in Dundonald.
I think I hear so much of that, you know, that most of our Presbyterian activity has always revolved around a cup of tea and coffee as well. And to have that kind of taken away, I guess, does limit that opportunity for those little informal chats that create that sense of church family that we hold dear. I suppose my next question then is, well, in what ways have you or others in your church adapted practices, you know, being flexible in some way in order to try and retain some sense of community within your church life? Sonia?
Yeah, so a lot went to Zoom, like the youth, both the youth fellowship as well as BB tried to do sessions on Zoom, connecting in. We tried a kids club on Zoom, I think twice, both at Easter and again, I can't remember the next time we tried it, but tried twice the Zoom kids club just as a way to make connections with people. The women's group again did a Zoom. They were really great. Over a few of their nights, they drop cake at people's doors. So when it started, we could all eat cake together that had been supplied by them in the early days of the pandemic. House groups, again, were Zoom. I think as restrictions have eased, it's been really lovely to meet people for walks, individuals for walks, when you were allowed to do that, because it's such a key way of making a connection, finding out how somebody's doing, looking at them face to face. For young families, we find it quite hard to get them back to church with children. And having two young children myself, it's really hard to keep them in a pew sitting. So we decided to do a family service once a month. And that has worked really well because it's got families back in. And I have to say, the first Sunday that we did that back in October time, when those children walked through the door, I did a big countdown at the very start and they all joined in this 10-9-8. So it was really exciting, but it was to see their faces because Sunday school had stopped and we hadn't seen them. The odd phone call had been made, but actually to see them in the building has been really special. So we've continued that, and I suppose we'll try to think forward of what else we can do to connect people in. So yeah, those are some of the things that we've tried to do. Some have been successful, some haven't been so much. Like the Zooms before church kind of fizzled out quite early on. Some families gathered together to watch church together, but I don't know that that was very long lasting.
Yeah, I suppose lots of what Sonia said. We did a number of quizzes and escape rooms and stuff on Zoom just to try and create a bit of community, advertise those through our Facebook page and stuff. And we even had folk join those who wouldn't regularly attend our church just because we did a pizza night one night where we sourced a load of ingredients, left it around at people's houses who'd signed up. And then we had to make the pizza, obviously, and we had a couple of judges who decided over Zoom which was the best pizza, which was, I'm sure, an easy task. And we had quite a few folk who don't regularly attend church who sort of joined in with that, which was really great. So last Easter, we bought about, must have been like 350 or 400 cream eggs, and we made little packs up and a little card, and we just drove around Dundonald to all our members and just sort of gave this little brown bag with a little Happy Easter sort of card in it, just to remind folk that we were still praying for them. We were still wanting to support them and help them in any way that we could, even though it maybe mightn't be in the way that we have in the past. I was lucky enough to do some shopping for some of our older folk on a weekly basis, so that was a great chance for me just to have a phone call with someone to hear what it was they needed from Tesco's or whatever, and then I would leave it around at their house, set it on the doorstep, and was able then to have a conversation from a distance, just briefly say hello, chat. So again, that was just a little way that we were able to connect. We also moved, obviously, our services online on a Sunday, and then we thought about, you know, what do we do something on a Sunday night? And we usually have our sort of discipleship groups during the week, and like a Wednesday night, do we do something like that? And so we decided that we would do sort of discipleship stuff more in blocks than sort of commit to doing something every Sunday night. So we did sort of a 6 or 8 week block where on a Sunday night we would sort of put a teaching video out, and then on the Wednesday night we would have a Zoom call which sort of corresponded to that teaching on the Sunday evening, had some discussion questions around that. But the 6 weeks before Easter, we looked at who is Jesus, for example, for 6 weeks, and then that led us up to Easter. So just trying to think of different ways to still create that community, to still create that fellowship, and still try and keep people engaged on some level with church and with each other.
We're actually doing, we've done all of the same things actually that Sonia and Rob have just talked about. The one thing I will say, which is slightly different for us, is we haven't done too much Zoom in terms of fellowship groups. We have gone more extensively with Facebook Live, because Facebook's still a platform that a lot of people in our state and in our community use. And although it's much more passive, like people don't interact with you as much bar the hellos and thank you for the message. The one thing I will say about Facebook Live is the amount of people that listened to me doing a study on a Thursday night was probably three times, maybe four times what I would normally get on a Thursday night in the church. And those people stuck with me. And the really interesting thing about those people was an awful lot of them would be people who wouldn't normally even come to church. So when we were allowed to meet again as a church, some of those people actually started to come. So that was really, really encouraging for us. And the other thing that I thought was really good for us during that period was the fact that I could do something which was a little bit more oriented around apologetics. So I was very conscious of the fact that it was just through Facebook, a huge amount of people on the fringe of the church or who weren't committed Christians. So I was doing stuff like Rachel McLaughlin's book, Confronting Christianity. So I was using that book and breaking it down into my own kind of Ballykale friendly version of it, but looking at all the key issues today. And I really enjoyed it. But apart from all of that, at a more practical level, yeah, we're organizing a pizza night in the Manse Garden here for the YF on Sunday and try to bring people together that way. And we have two services, one at 10 and one at 11:30. And they're both kind of deliberately pitched to families anyway. We always want to keep kids in for most of the services. And during a normal service, children over 8 would normally stay in. So we want to create that kind of culture. So I always try and preach and teach in such a way with PowerPoint and, you know, clear points and application for families. So we've just continued on with that. Probably half our children are missing in the sense that we can't run a creche and we can't run like a kiddies ministry under 8 years old. That's incredibly frustrating, but we hope to address that very, very soon. And if senior people in the PCI are listening, I know they're working very hard. And it'll hopefully not be long before we can gather together as one church family. So yeah, better days ahead.
Thank you, Marty and Rob and Sonia for that. That's really, really helpful just to hear how some of you have been flexible in your congregations and are around trying to establish that ongoing sense of church community that we all feel a sense of loss. And I suppose as we enter a period now where it seems like restrictions are easing, what provisional plans are you putting in place or what practical ideas might be helpful to consider in seeking to renew this sense of church community and refresh church life?
That's a great question, Neil. I actually regard the period of lockdown and restriction that we've undergone as a gift from God, because our life, my own personal pastoral life and the life of many people in the church was manic. And so we had an opportunity to stop. So one of the things that I've done through this more restricted period and looking at the period ahead is to actually use it strategically to try and really get our church to focus on what's essential. So in order to do that, we're not rushing into any manic kind of reactivation of activities. We're just taking a critical look at how we can grow in Christ as a congregation. And that doesn't necessarily mean more activity. What it means is greater faithfulness. And those two things are different sometimes, because we find ourselves being so busy doing things which were good, but not necessarily essential. So what I'm trying to do now is get our church to focus on what's essential. And for us, it's teaching our congregation to pray. So we have no idea what the autumn period is going to be like. Is it going to be fully, you know, open again, or is it going to be more restrictions, or is it actually probably going to be somewhere in the middle? It's going to be like a hybrid. It's getting slightly better than what it is now, but not brilliant. So what are the fundamentals? Yeah, we're going to be able to meet, hopefully, but it'll still probably not be back to full church. So therefore, what can I do? What can we do as elders? what I'm doing at the minute is I've got a woman in our church, and I've given her several books on prayer to read. And I've said to her, her name is Patsy. I've said, Patsy, try and find a book or books on prayer that you think whole families in our congregation can purchase and read this autumn. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try and get as many people in their homes, you know, to read maybe just a short devotional, you know, 2-3 times a week on prayer, a couple of chapters a week. And we're going to try to get as many people praying at home as possible in the autumn season. And then we're hopeful that Christmas will be more open and that we can start really building up a sense of thankfulness for Christ at Christmas. And then beyond Christmas, we're anticipating maybe more extensive mission. And I've been talking to people about doing mission-oriented, gospel-oriented activities. So we're really trying to prep, use this gift of a quiet summer months and relatively quiet autumn as being a period in which we can learn more about prayer. And then hopefully post-Christmas, start to be more expansive in terms of mission engagement.
Yeah, again, we want to keep it simple. We don't want to run kind of ramstam into a whole lot of stuff that you can't sustain. But we would love to try and get the church family back together for some social things. I would love to have some evening walks to meet up on the beach. We're a seaside town. There's lots of beaches down the road from us. To invite church as a whole, not just families, but individuals to come, meet, bring a picnic, join us. We'd love to do that. We're hoping to do some form of kids club in the summer. Not sure what it will look like, but would love to do something in person with children and invite children along, and the same with youth. For me, personally, I would love to put some tables out in the church car park, and once we can do coffee again, get the coffee pot on and just invite people to come in the morning, like for a chat, because I think people will need socialized again, especially people who haven't been out very much and who maybe haven't had a huge family around them. And I think it's going to be a big step re-entering society, re-entering life. So simple little things, I think, as a church family, we are thinking through and hoping to do. But we're not looking to do big programs or anything at this point. We just want to see how the summer fares out. But it's to gather people would be our hope.
I suppose we're largely similar to what has been said. We really want to spend the summer, especially if the weather's going to be dry anyway. We can't expect too much, can we? While it's dry, at least that we can go for walks, spend some time outside, go for family picnics. We're hoping to, again, to do a kids club, whatever that looks like, in August. And the Sunday after that, we'll have some sort of all-age service. And then after that, we'll go for a church picnic, which is what we usually do in Stormont, just to try and get people together again. We're looking at one of our elders owns a restaurant in Bangor. So he's agreed to open that on a Saturday morning to put on a bit of a breakfast. So a men's group will do it 1 week, and we'll meet at maybe Crawfordsburn or somewhere, walk through to Bangor, have some breakfast and walk back, and we'll get some of our women to do that maybe the week after. Just really to get people together to, and food is really a big part of that, get people together to sort of have conversations, to reconnect, the stuff that we've missed really over the last year and a half or so. I suppose for us, the key is using this time, like Marty and Sonia were both saying there, just to pause. Like, church life is busy. We've got this time to sort of think about, what do we want to do? What do we want to be? And how do we want to grow as a church? And I think a key part of that is talking to our people, talking to our organizational leaders, talking to those who are involved in the different activities that run here, and having conversations with them around, what do they see when things do get back to normal? What do they want their group or their organization or activity to be about? What's the focus for them when we start? And I think having those conversations now is vital, because before we know it, you can almost guarantee it, can't you? Before you know it, you're back into the routine of church life and the cycle of all that becomes. Once restrictions start to ease, that's going to be inevitable at some point. And so if we're not having those conversations, I think, now, then before we know it, you know, we're going to be back into the middle of just doing what we do, because that's what we know how to do without actually thinking about what we're doing. So we plan to do a church weekend in September. the first weekend in September. Usually we do like a week of prayer around that time, but we decided to go for a church weekend this year. Now, obviously, it'll not be in Castlewell and Castle or anywhere like that. It's going to be just here. We'll do an all-age quiz in the church on the Friday night, just a real time again of fellowship and connecting with each other. And then on the Saturday morning, we'll come back about 10 o'clock in the morning and we'll start with an all-age service. We haven't been able to have an all-age service since before lockdown. It's probably the Christmas before lockdown. And so we just really want to have a time of worship together. We've got a speaker coming along from SU. And then we're going to break out into some seminars, just some things around family discipleship, some things around spiritual disciplines. How do we walk well? How do we, you know, teach us how to pray, that kind of thing. And then finish up maybe later on, early afternoon, with some sort of on-the-sofa interviews with folk who have different stories to share about what it looks like to be, you know, to live out your faith, I suppose. We're going to call it Love Your Church Weekend. Tony Morita's got a new book coming out called Love Your Church. So we're going to do some material then beyond that weekend, looking at church life again and what it means to be the church and what that looks like.
That's really helpful, Rob, and really helpful to hear from all of you there, just about some of the creativity and thinking around, you know, what might be possible throughout the summer months and into the autumn, and making some plans for that already, albeit being flexible in terms of how they might work themselves out. And also just in consideration of the whole church family and trying to bring all ages together and create that opportunity or lots of little opportunities for people to regather again. And at the same time, that kind of reflective opportunity to just reconsider what church life might look like going forward. I think they're all really important points to pick up from that. So thank you for sharing that. Whilst rebuilding congregational life is going to be important, how might churches also be considering their witness at this time? For example, by extending their activities or offering their facilities to others in the community. Have you any experience or plans in this regard? Rob, we'll start with you.
I suppose traditionally here we've been a come and see kind of church. You know, we run loads of activities, loads of programs, and we encourage people to come to those. And I suppose that's good in one sense, but it also has its limits. And I suppose even pre-COVID, we've been having a conversation around what mission in Dundonald looks like. How do we actually reach Dundonald? I suppose for those who don't know Dundonald that well, it's really now an extension of East Belfast, and it goes right now right through to pretty much Newnards and out to Cumber. There's been, I think it's 14,000 new homes built in Dundonald in the last sort of 7 or 8 or 9 years. So it's a really growing place. It's got the second biggest primary school in the country, and it's right on our doorstep. So lots of young families moving into Dundonald over the last couple of years. And we haven't really seen a massive uptake in sort of numbers in terms of our activity and stuff like that. So there's been a real desire from us, I suppose, this last couple of years to reach Dundonald with the gospel, and we've really been thinking through that. We began a process really before lockdown. We asked the question, we did a little survey one Sunday, what are sort of the key needs of our community? What kind of things do you think that we could best serve our community with? We were about to start a process of then listening to the community, listening to some of the sort of key stakeholders, so that'll be the likes of the school and the community centres, and seeing what they think are the needs within our community. And then we'll begin a process that will sort of look at how we can meet some of those needs. Is there stuff that we can do in the community that will actually help? And so that's a process that we're trying to walk through that in the middle of COVID. So that's been difficult and frustrating, but hopefully we can really pick that up and run with that in the weeks ahead. But I think putting it on the agenda is the key. Because I think one of the first things to drop when COVID came was mission, and we just, you know, apart from going Facebook Live and having a service, which is still a useful tool, a lot of our mission really just stopped almost instantly because it's relational, isn't it, mission? So we couldn't really relate to each other. And so I think getting it back on the agenda, back on the table, talking about it again is the key, really.
Thanks, Rob. Marty?
Yeah, we've never really had an issue in terms of asking ourselves, how do we reach the community around us? Because the community around us are part and parcel of who we are. You know, we're physically very much located in the heart of an estate, and people from the estate come to the church, and those that drive into the church would have an emotional or historical connection with our area, or would very much buy into the understanding that we serve the community by loving our neighbour. Our mission statement is we want to joyfully, you know, glorify God, heart, soul, mind, strength in South Ballymena and beyond. You know, so we're very much conscious of our physical geographical locality. And during COVID since, we would be very much regarded as the church that people go to in times of crisis. I don't mean that in an arrogant way, but there's the Pentecostal church and there are other churches in the town close to us. But again, because of our location, because of the role I play working with community groups, people come to us, and we would have significant people involved in community organizations, you know, worship in our church. So there's always been a very natural connection with the community around us. Lately, obviously, there's been a bit of political turbulence, and that's outworked itself in quite a bit of violence about a month ago. So in response to that, what we've done as a church is a couple of us have organized football to try to keep the lads off the streets and energetically employed. We're going to organize a night looking at some of the bigger issues in terms of leadership in our local community or the role of the media and things like that. So they'll be obviously socially distanced in limited numbers, but we're still going to organise events to try and show a bit of leadership in the community and again develop those relationships that Rob was talking about. So we certainly would find that during the course of the last year, our ties with the community have strengthened. And a lot of that has been because of tragedies, which are well documented, but from the point of view of the gospel and our witness, we're in thankfully in a strong position in that regard. And hopefully as we emerge out of lockdown, that'll continue.
It's interesting hearing like how involved you are in the community, Marty, and I'd seen you in the news during the past month. It was really interesting hearing what's happened in Ballykeel. For us, like, we are a small town and we have always tried to look out and look out into the community. We see, like, from our church window, we see the lighthouse, and the lighthouse is always that reminder to us of the light that shines bright in the darkness. We need Jesus for our town, and no matter how lovely people are, Jesus is what they need. And we've tried over the past few years to reach the businesses in the town just by showing love and care, and I suppose to show our presence and our prayers for them. And some of that has been like what you did, Rob, in the schools, bringing gifts to them, whether at Easter, like our church collected Easter eggs, so we brought them to each business in the town. Recently, when the shops reopened and hairdressers and all that reopened, we give every business in the town just a thank you for what you do, for how you serve our community. And some of the guys who were delivering that were saying, like, the business owners were just really touched that we were thinking about them at this time. So I suppose we just really want our town to know that we are for them. We want to build, like, have kingdom values in our town to show the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus in our town. And about, I don't know how many years ago, we set up a food bank. And again, that has been a ministry to the town, for the town. It reaches down into the peninsula a little bit. Also, but mostly our heart is for our local community. And again, that has really reached people over this past year, people in need, some new people coming along to that, and also enabled people to be part of that ministry. And I know for the compassion ministry, they're always looking ideas, how do you further it on so that you're not just giving a food package, but how do you help when there's real social needs, mental needs? And I suppose that little team are trying to process that, like, what are the next steps? How do we help people beyond just even that first practical instance? And I know for them, they've had opportunities to pray with people or through the Facebook Messenger to be chatting with folks and finding out more about them. Our heart as a church, I think, is to keep looking out. It always has been. Like, we want to be strong as a body. We want to love Jesus. We want to know who he is and grow deeper in him. But we want that not just for ourselves, but to keep looking out to see that we have a town in need. And we're thinking, how do we reach those new houses? Like, how do we show that we're here, that we're present? How can we serve you? How can we help you?
Thanks very much, Sonia. That's really helpful to hear from all of you there. I suppose as we have grieved the loss of community, so have those outside of our church membership. Everyone has grieved that loss of sense of community over the past year. And so it's really encouraging to hear from each of you how, as you mentioned earlier, Rob, you know, how you're kind of shifting focus perhaps from not just having come and see activities, but to think about going and telling, and through different kind of acts of generosity and love, and, you know, through links with local schools and businesses and community groups and crisis moments. It's really encouraging to hear how our churches are being a witness in their local community. Just as we kind of draw to a close here, I want each of you just to share a verse or a passage of scripture that has particularly spoken to you in these times. So, Sonia, do you want to start?
Yeah, well, actually, the very first verse that I felt the Lord speak to me as a new Christian at 15 and was Hebrews 11:1. His faith is being sure of the things you hope for and knowing something is real, even if you do not see it. And over this past year, that verse has been in my mind so much. Like, faith is just being sure of the things we hope for, knowing it's real, even if we do not see it, because there's been so many uncertainties this year. And yet I trust in the sovereignty of God, that he is over it all, in it all, that he is working, and we hang on to just faith and our hope is in him. So it's that verse as a new Christian at 15 is the verse so many years on is still the one that comes back to me in these times.
So I'm not going to pick a Bible verse, if that's okay. It's a hymn for me, actually. We came back on Good Friday. Obviously, it was our first service after what was a long winter. I felt personally, anyway, a long winter. I was here every Sunday with our minister and with maybe two or three sound guys out the back. And it was a lot, even spiritually, it was a long winter. Church was just not church. We were trying to go live every Sunday, like most churches. And while it was still good that we were able to do that, it's just not church. It's just not us coming together as God's people to worship. And we actually moved house the day before Good Friday with the two boys. That was a crazy couple of days trying to pack up our old house, move into our new house, and then try and get settled there. So I sort of arrived here on Good Friday evening. We were having a communion service. And I was doing the COVID announcement, our first service back, doing that good old hands, face, space stuff. And so I did that, and then I went and sat down, and William, our minister, took over and did the call to worship. And we stood to sing "And Can It Be?" And now, obviously, we only had about 100 people in the building. We had our masks on. We were obviously, I suppose, encouraged to sing a little softer in these days. But to hear God's people coming together again and worshiping him and enjoying him was a really special moment, I think, for me in my journey of faith. The reminder, I've been going to a Presbyterian church since I was baptized in one nearly 40 years ago. And we almost take it for granted, don't we, that we get to come to church on a Sunday. We get this privilege of being part of God's family. And I think for me, it was that Good Friday night, come to celebrate Easter and singing "And Can It Be?" and just enjoying the presence of God's people and God himself with us as we worshipped and enjoyed him was a real sort of special moment for me during, after, I suppose, a difficult lockdown and coming out of that as God's people.
Marty?
When we were doing our online recordings during the restricted period, we did Philippians, and I felt it was really important to emphasize joy and the fact that Paul was in prison or in some form of imprisonment. And he just emphasized the sovereignty of God and the grace of Christ. And that particular verse in Philippians 4, verse 4 and 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I just thought those verses were, at the time and still are, so not just relevant, but governing. You know, when the Word of God governs you like that, it's right to have concern about COVID. It's right to have concern about all sorts of issues. But ultimately, we're told to rejoice in the Lord. So we can be thankful, we can be optimistic, he's in control.
Those are some great reminders from God's word, from a really well-known old hymn as well that speaks the truth of God's word. It's just so comforting, that sense of being faith, being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see, that sense of joy. And I love that chorus and Can It Be, where the chains fell off and my heart was free. It's amazing. So we thank you for sharing those words of comfort and hope as, and I suppose as people, as we seek to be faithful in our life and witness in these days, that's really helpful. Thanks, Sonia, Rob and Marty, for sharing your insights and experience on this particular moment as we think about reconnecting in the summer season. I found it really encouraging, and I'm sure our listeners will too. Before we finish today, let me draw your attention to some resources and opportunities you might find useful at this time. On the homepage of the PCI website, you'll see the Refined Fanning the Flame page. Click on that and you'll find a wide range of resources and information to help with all aspects of your congregation's life and witness. You'll find information on resuming church life and activity in the Together Again tabs, and there are a range of blogs on a variety of issues you might find helpful. In the webinars tab, you'll find information about a few events coming up in June that you can register for, such as Together Again for Youth Ministry, Together Again as Kirk Sessions, and Growing Our Presence in the Community. Please do have a look at this information and pass it on to others in your congregation who might be interested. And you can find all of this on the PCI website at www.presbyterianireland.org. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you'll join us next time as we have a conversation with some of PCI's global mission workers to hear how they are being used for God in other parts of the world. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.